everyone. Welcome to this edition of Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Now, when it comes to movie genres, the topic we are talking about today clearly has a wide breadth of different movies in that genre. We're talking about mafia movies. And here to join me, here to join the gang for this one here, Carson Elcombe. Carson, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, man?
Jason, ever since I can remember, I wanted to be on It's Not That Bad and Keep Watch Pass. Slam the trunk. I'm doing wonderful.
Right. Excellent. So, how big a fan of mafia movies are you to make you want to sit there and say, no, I want to pick three of them. Let's go.
Honestly, huge. I got into film and into cinema greatly because of Martin Scorsese. He was kind of my hero. I'm sure a lot of people's getting into the movie scene. And I was just incredibly attracted to everything he created and made. I went back through his entire filmography, King of Comedy, Mean Streets, all the way up to The Irishman and just Killers of the Flower Moon. I absolutely love Martin Scorsese. He hooked me on the genre. And not Martin Scorsese related, but Jason, we're doing this on the perfect day. Can you guess why?
I have zero idea. Aside from the fact that you get to be on the show, which makes it a good day.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
But 52 years ago, the day we're recording this, Francis Ford Coppola released The Godfather.
Oh, wow. So
it's a perfect recording day.
I'm now curious if The Godfather is going to be one of your picks, but we'll get to that in a bit. But let's let our listeners know what they're in for. We are about to each pick three mafia movies, a keep, a watch, and a pass. The keep is the one with a very good boy. He's part of the family. We love this film. The watch is the one that, you know what, we deal with him. He's okay. He's a useful idiot. The pass, he's going to sleep with the fishes. That was the worst freaking Marlon Brando I think I've ever done.
You know what? I think you should give yourself some credit. I heard it. I got what you were going for.
Right now, the listeners are like, please, dear God, stop. But first is our keep film. So, Carson, in the category of mafia movies, what is your keep film?
I know it's basic, and I mentioned it in my intro, but my keep film is Goodfellas. This is arguably my favorite movie of all time, which is also what led me to request this episode to you. But to me, Goodfellas is not only the perfect way to make a mafia movie, it is, in my mind, a perfect movie from start to finish. I cannot take my eyes off this screen. It is a beautiful, beautiful film that really dives deep into, I feel like, more of the psyche and the change from kid all the way to his demise with Henry Hill. And I think that it's just incredible. Like, I can't even find the words, because this movie has meant a lot to me in my past too. It got me into cinema, into film, as I said. It was a movie that I watched with my father and grandfather, and that was a real lineage connection that they showed it to me. And it's just resonated with me from there on. It's what I like to think of as the stereotypical film class. You want to know how to write a movie and direct, go watch Goodfellas and come back.
You have to think that on the Mount Rushmore of mafia films, Goodfellas has to be on that mountain.
Easily. It's got to take up at least one of those heads.
I mean, Godfather Part II, probably up there as well. I'm curious now. Before I get to my key pick, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, what would be your Mount Rushmore of mafia films?
I mean, I have a few, but I'm like, one of them is definitely on my watch, so I don't know if I want to spoil it yet. But Goodfellas is definitely on there. You're absolutely right in putting The Godfather Part 2 or 1. Honestly, that's kind of debatable for me. I could switch those kind of in either side. A little bit of a controversial one, but I think The Irishman deserves a spot on there. I know that's a little controversial to some people, but I think for what Scorsese did and kind of trying to change the way filmmaking is done, especially in the de-aging, I know that wasn't always super popular with people, but he made a really intriguing story, which I love. So those are the three I would definitely put up there. I mean, some of them are debatable, but like what other, I'm trying to think of what other really good picks could go on there. Like personally, I like Scarface, but I don't think that would go right to the top for me. But I could also say Once Upon a Time in America could go up there. So there's a few I feel like within The Irishman that I kind of cycle out. But I'm not going to say my last one yet because I'm going to get to it for my next one.
Well, I know what would be on my Mount Rushmore of mafia films. Now, the last time you were on Keep Watch Pass and we were talking about modern Westerns, and I, in talking about one of the films that I had picked on that episode, by the way, if you haven't actually listened to that episode, go back and listen to that episode. But I mentioned in passing The Last of the Mohicans, not a Western. Not a Western. It's a period piece. It's not a Western. But I talked about the pacing and the flow and the tempo of that film. My Keep film was the very next film that Michael Mann directed, and that's Heat. We're talking...
excellent choice.
Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, a phenomenal performance from a much younger Natalie Portman. Like, this film is the very definition of a slow burn. But it's not, it doesn't drag. There's something about this film, and Michael Mann nailed this perfectly. It's a slow build. You don't have a lot of action thrown at you. You know, it's a lot of character building. But it never feels like it's slow. So when you get to the actual bank heist and all the action's going on, it's like, all of a sudden, it's much more impactful because you've been building to this moment. It's a masterpiece in directing.
I 100% cannot get behind you more. I will ask you, though, Heat 2 has been confirmed. Are you worried at all?
I'm curious. The good thing is, it's been a while. It has been a while since Heat has come out. Michael Mann... if he is directing, and I hope he's directing it, because I don't know.
I believe he is. I feel like we've... let me get back to you on that. Continue.
But, I mean, since Last of the Mohicans and Heat, of course, there was a little bit of a hit because there, of course, was Miami Vice in there. So, But if he did or does direct this, I think Heat 2 will be... phenomenal. And I think it's important, too, that if you do... Heat 2, you want to be able to bring back as many of these characters as you possibly can because it's the perfect age for them. Like, if you bring back Natalie Portman into Heat 2, it's a perfect age for her. Like, it's great.
So, looking at just the IMDb page for quickly on Heat 2, just what's up there, Michael Mann is directing again, which is great to see. And he's bringing along someone else to be the star, though, listed here. And he just worked with him in Ferrari, and that's Adam Driver.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So I'm curious now. It's rumored, though. It is rumored for Adam Driver. But I'm very curious. And this is going to be one of those things where it's a prequel. Is it a continuation
of
the story?
A young, like an Adam Driver playing a younger Al Pacino?
You know what? Yes, I can, actually. Yes,
right?
I absolutely can.
I absolutely agree. Because I thought about it, too. And I'm like, I think he could do it. I think maybe like some voice work and trying to get like some more of that like raspiness that he has in the movie. But I think he could do it. I like Adam Driver. I know some people flip-flop on kind of his star power and what he can hold. But anything Adam Driver is in, I'm usually interested in.
Although if we get him saying the line, "You can't walk on your doggy," then we're good. Then we're sold.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
My watch film may be the best take on the Al Capone story ever. Personal opinion, don't at me. And it's the second time I get to mention Robert De Niro. I'm talking about Untouchables. When you were on last time for Modern Westerns, my watch film was Dances with Wolves. By the way, if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it. I'm just going to keep plugging it through the whole show.
Keep plugging it.
Exactly.
Someone's bound to go back to it.
So obviously, Kevin Costner had a very, very good run in the 80s and the early 90s because Untouchables was a freaking masterpiece. Sean freaking Connery in this film just made the film. Untouchables, like, I remember when this came out and I had it on VHS, and I know I still have a copy. I think I actually still have the VHS copy here at home because we don't throw away anything. But this wasn't necessarily in my wheelhouse of films to watch, yet I was always happy to watch this film. I will admit, mafia movies, maybe not necessarily my forte or not my genre of choice on a regular basis, but Untouchables, if it's on, count me in.
It's an absolutely gorgeous film. And I got to go back to Sean Connery because I know Kevin Costner is the lead, but Sean Connery is my man in this movie. And he just, you see him on screen and you're like, yes, this is where you belong. And something that's funny enough, my girlfriend and I were talking about lately, is how a lot of movies right now are running into this issue that is called iPhone face. Have you heard of this?
No.
So essentially, iPhone face is when celebrities and actors, actresses are getting put into older roles, but they either have some kind of work done or they're just like more modern to where you can't actually fit their face into the movie to where they almost look out of place. And I'm trying to think of a good example of this off the top of my head, and I can't, obviously, because now's the time I wouldn't be able to remember. But Sean Connery is the complete opposite of that. This is like perfect. When I think of Sean Connery, I'm like, this is what comes to mind. And it's bizarre to me, but I love it.
All right. So what is your watch film?
My watch film, I know we're getting into this trope, and I've already done a Scorsese movie, but this was my fourth film on that Mount Rushmore, and it's Casino.
Mm.
I have a beautiful poster of this in my hallway right now that my girlfriend looks at every time and shakes her head at because it's in a main living area where everyone sees it. So that's my claim to fame in the household right now. But Casino is absolutely astounding. And I feel like Scorsese takes everything that made Goodfellas great, including some of the cast, and builds on it to a more personal character level where you kind of in Goodfellas only get Henry Hill's main story. The one thing I love about Casino is that you get Robert De Niro's story, you get Joe Pesci's story, you get Sharon Stone's story. I feel like everyone is playing their perfect role, and it just all comes together in this really unique mafia movie that hasn't really been touched on in the casino scene before. And one of my favorite just scenes in a movie of all time comes from here, and it's right near the top of the film where Robert De Niro is doing the voiceover and it goes through how the security of the casino works. It's just, it comes together so perfectly with that starting scene. And I feel like you just kind of know what's going to happen, where obviously it's kind of a big any mafia movie, you have the underground, like, we got to keep it from the cops. And I feel like this just does a really good beginning theme of that in that opening scene, showing that regardless of where you are, even in Vegas, the most wild place in North America, as some people say, you're always being watched.
Yeah, when you think about the 90s, I mean, really, this was peak mafia cinema time. And yes, obviously The Godfather, Godfather Part 2 and Scarface were like late 70s, early 80s. I understand it. I appreciate it. But I feel like the 90s really brought a much more, you had a diverse section of movies, because you had the more traditional, the more, for lack of a better term, prestige type movies like Casino. But you also had in the same boat very raw, gritty films, maybe like a Reservoir Dogs or a Pulp Fiction, where there was a bit more, for lack of a better term, there's a bit more hair on the balls on that. So I think in a wonderful way, the 90s brought a lot of what was good and also what was a lot of bad. Because there were some films that came out of the 90s where you're just like, oh, so that exists. The thought that comes to mind is Mobsters, which of course starred Christian Slater and Patrick Dempsey, because that came out in 1991. But we've covered that one on the show. So I'll say it's not horrible, but it's not great. It's not Casino good.
You'll have to go back and listen to that one too.
Exactly. Just listen to every single episode. You know, you only have about over 160 episodes to listen to, so catch up.
You know, I got to go back to something too that I just remembered, and I'm skipping back to Goodfellas for one sec to go on a tangent. And it's to also kind of show how special of a place it is in my heart, and also how stupid I am looking back. The first date me and my girlfriend had, she came over, we were talking, we had a really good day, and she was going to stay to watch a movie. I set up this wicked like little outside TV area for the summer. And guess what I put on and thought that was a brilliant decision for a first date? Goodfellas. And she humbled me and she sat there and watched the whole thing and told me she liked it and it was a good time until a few months ago where she's like, why did you choose that on our first date? That's our first date story now, is that you put on Goodfellas. And then instead of chatting, we sat for 2.5 hours.
See, it's funny you mention that, because between my lovely wife, Carrie, and I, The memory gets a little foggy after a number of years. So when it comes to which movie was our first date, it's either, and I'm kid you not, American Beauty or Fight Club. It was one of those two films. And I think they were very close together because we saw them both in the theaters. I'm like, yeah. And she stuck around. So yay.
I think we both came out on top here.
Exactly. See, I win because I got the girl. She wins because she got to see two really good films, you know, and I guess got me as well. So, but then again, I keep throwing these bad movies at her and she keeps coming back. So clearly I scored awesomely because she is a very patient woman. So yay.
You gotta love it. She's right? She's a gem, eh?
So she's the absolute best. Absolute best. All right. We're going now from talking about my wife, who's the absolute best, to talking about your film, which is the absolute worst. What is your pass mafia film?
My pass is, so this is the newest out of all of them, 2013, and it is The Family, starring Robert De Niro. Have you heard of The Family before?
I have heard of it. I have not watched it yet.
So essentially, this family run by Robert De Niro is relocated to Normandy, France, under witness protection, and essentially people come back to try to kill him because he left the life, and they try to do it as a comedy slash a drama, and it gets into that muddy middle with these movies where it just doesn't know what it is, and I don't even know what it is watching it. Should I be thinking there's some high stakes to it, or should I be sitting laughing at it as a comedy? And I just can't put my finger on what I want it to be. And it's got a good cast too. I mean, Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, Tommy Lee Jones. Like, there's some good names in there, but that's kind of it. Besides, I mean, Vincent Pastore, who you would know from The Sopranos, but it's just, it gives me those vibes of, all right, Robert, we've given you movies that you wanted to do. Now you got to do one for us. And it just it falls flat on tone and just understanding at what it is I'm supposed to be watching right now.
That sounds like a mafia deal. Says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you the good movies, but then you're going to owe us a movie and you're not going to like it very much, but you're going to do the movie anyways.
That's exactly what it is.
I also feel, and I have to point this out, that this episode could very well duplicate as a movies starring Robert De Niro episode, because
I did go 3 for 3 on De Niro and I didn't even realize that.
And so far I'm 2 for 2 on De Niro as well, but it ends here because my pass is the 2000 remake of Get Carter.
I didn't know there was a remake.
I wanted to like this film because going in, you know, you take a look at the cast and I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be okay. All right. And let me go through the cast here. Michael Caine is in this one, but not in the Jack Carter role that he played in the original. You have Mickey Rourke. You have Miranda Richardson. You have Rachel Lee Cook. And then you have Sylvester Stallone.
When did saying Sylvester Stallone's name go from being like, this must be an amazing movie, to be like, oh, what's he doing these days?
Well, you have to understand that in the 80s and even in some of the 90s, Stallone was okay, good. You know, Stallone's in the film, we're on board. And now we're at that stage again where, hey, you know what? Stallone's in the film, it should be okay. Except for Expendables 4, but he was barely in that one. But we'll get
Expend Forables,
yes. But the thing is, in the early 2000s, there were a stretch of films that Stallone did that were not there. And of course, we've covered one of them already on It's Not That Bad. So if you haven't listened to our episode on Driven, go back and listen to that one as you're going back and listening to 160 other episodes, because you have to catch up. I'm just selling here.
Hey, we don't make the rules, Jason. We don't make the rules.
Right? Right? Do your homework. If you get through one episode a day, including all the new episodes that come out every week, you might catch up by the end after a year. You might.
Those are rookie numbers. 3 months.
But the
those are the real fans.
The thing is, the film tonally just didn't work. There was a lot of editing in this and color grading. I'm just like, why? Like, they went for style over substance. And the other thing too, if you're reading up on this film, there's a lot of studio interference, because the director wanted one thing, the studio wanted another thing. I'll give them credit, because there's a story on IMDb. There's a note on this, and if true, I freaking love it. So apparently they wanted to, for a flashback, degrade the film quality enough to add some texture to it. So they mentioned this to Deluxe. That was the company that does all the color grading on film. So apparently what they did was they took the film and they dragged it behind a car to damage the film to give it that grit to it. So if that actually happened, holy crap, that is brilliant. That is guerrilla filmmaking at its best. But the problem is, this film, it's not fun. It's not good. It's not suspenseful. It's just a 2000 film, which is style over substance, with a good cast that just doesn't hit the mark.
And to think that this is directed by Stephen Kay, who also was responsible for parts of Yellowstone and Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. But the thing is, he wanted a totally different film than what the studio wanted. And anytime the studio and the director start to clash, it's not going to go well. And for the record, this film has an 11% tomatometer. So there may be one day where I have to revisit this, and maybe, you know, 24 years after its release, go back and watch and go, maybe it was just an in the moment. I wasn't feeling Stallone's performance in this. You know, it's a shame. It is an absolute shame. But I wanted to like it. I didn't like it. So for now, it's my pass. But if ever the time comes where I have to revisit this film, I'll go there. I'll go there, and I'm sure I'll find something good to say about it. But in the pantheon of mafia movies, it ain't there.
Yeah, definitely. Especially what I'm reading right now, too. Just a whole mess on set. Like, a miserable, apparently, place to be, too. Like, actors, actresses not happy. Like, just a rough go.
All right, Carson, thank you for this. Now, before we go, please remind our listeners what your keep, watch, and pass films were, coincidentally all starring Robert De Niro.
My keep was Goodfellas, my watch was Casino, and my pass was The Family. But Jason, if we have one more minute, I have an honorable mention for my watch that I guarantee you no one out here is thinking of. And it is the 2000s movie Shark Tale. And I don't know if you've ever watched it with your kids or you've seen it, Jason, but me and the girlfriend rewatched it a few months ago just being nostalgic until we realized this is a legitimate mafia movie. It stars Will Smith, Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese in it. It's the weirdest animated fish movie you'll see that also has stars from The Sopranos in it. And it is about taking control of the underwater seas and an animated children's movie.
Next on Shark Week. Oh, dear God. I'm now curious and I have to take a look. And yes, a 35% tomatometer.
Well, we might have to take a look at this at some point on. It's not that bad.
At some point. Maybe for Shark Week.
Ah, there you go.
And for me, my keep is Heat, my watch is Untouchables, and my pass is Get Carter. Two out of the three of them star Robert De Niro, and according to Meatloaf, two out of three ain't bad. Carson, thank you so much for this. Now, before we go, please remind our listeners where they can find you and your work out there on the interwebs.
You can find me at CarsonElk12 on Twitter, and if you're into hockey, I write for Flames Pulse and FlameForThoughtBoth.com. Feel free to take a look at any articles on there, and thanks so much, Jason. It's always a pleasure doing these.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on. So anytime you want to pick a bad movie or even a musician to cover on There Can Only Be One, just let me know.
You know I'm always in for the pain.
Nice. All right. And for you, our listeners, who already know the pain because you're already 160 episodes in. And by the way, if you haven't listened to them all, get caught up. But you guys do know the drill. If there's a topic that you want us to cover or a movie that you want us to cover, hit us up on social media at NotThatBadCast or go to our website at NotThatBadCast.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out the aforementioned music show, There Can Only Be One, and the little sideshow, Spin, Shuffle, Skip, to get your music fix. Until next time, he's Carson. I'm Jay. You guys are awesome. This is Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.